whistle while you work. Put on that grin and start right in to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune.
Welcome to Company Break, a program dedicated to the companies and organizations in our local area, giving them a chance to talk about what services they can provide for you, our WCRI listeners. Good morning, everyone. I'm Mike Mano. Welcome to Company Break. This week, it is a pleasure to welcome into our studios Sean Durkin. Welcome, Sean.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you with us. Sean is representing his group at Ameriprise Financial. When I say his group, he is a financial investment agent. Is that a correct way of phrasing it?
Sure.
Or advisor?
Yes, financial advisor.
Financial advisor. And working with Ameriprise Financial. And you are an independent kind of guy.
That's correct. I'm considered an independent financial advisor. I'm affiliated with Ameriprise, but I'm an independent, yes.
All right. So you've spent time, probably standing at the top of the State House holding a spear. That's a different independent guy.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. But Ameriprise Financial is a well-known name, been around for a long, long time, although it's had a couple names in its history, right?
That's correct. They've been around since the 1890s, over 100 years. But Ameriprise is the third name of the third iteration, exactly.
Okay, and so most people know that name by now. Ameriprise has been around for quite a while, is that name, right?
Yes, exactly. And they were formerly American Express Financial Advisors.
Oh, okay. So Ameriprise Financial, and you're located in Warwick on Jefferson Boulevard, a street that a lot of people hear about because there's a ton of businesses on Jefferson Boulevard in Warwick. 300 is your address, and you're easy to find, but you're even easier to find by telephone or online, right?
That's right. I have a big web presence, and then our phone number right over there is 401-921-3688, but you can definitely find me on the web as well.
And the website, if you want, is sean.p.durkin, D-U-R-K-I-N, @ampf.com.
Well, that's actually my email address.
Oh, okay.
Mike. So if you go on the Ameriprise website and then just / and then it's sean.p.durkin, and that'll bring you directly to my website.
Excellent. All right. Now let's talk a little bit. Our audience is a prime user of your product, I would think. If you're listening and you're in junior high school, you might not be interested in this as much as someone that's closer to my age, closer to that fairly well settled in life and looking to get some financial advice about their future.
Exactly. The junior high students eventually will need my advice, but right now they probably don't.
Yeah.
But a typical person that I work with, Mike, is, I say, plus or minus 5. So it's somebody who's going to retire in the next 5 years or somebody who's retired in the past 5 years.
Okay. So when you say they've already retired in the past 5 years, it's not too late to get help.
Exactly. And a lot of times people retire and they don't really have a plan or they're not sure. So it's definitely not too late.
Okay. You can always help. And we hear a lot of financial advertisements on television and on radio and media in general, and there's lots of different people doing different things or basically the same thing, just with better service.
So I try to streamline it for everybody, and I just tell people I've been doing this for 19 years, actually 19 years this week, Mike, and my job is to save you time and to simplify your life. Everybody I work with is busy for one reason or another, and they're probably fairly successful. So it's beneficial if they can save some time, and then if I can simplify things for them. That's that's how I try to tell people. That's the difference between me and the other people.
I want to make sure we also don't exclude anyone that might be a little bit younger. If you're, you know, working and you want to get your plans put together, certainly that would be even more advantageous if they were willing to start in their 20s.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So I do work with other groups of people. And again, I try to get people on track. You try to figure out what everybody's different. So everybody has their own individual goals or specific goals. And you try to get people on track, on a plan, and then keep them on track moving forward so there's no surprises later on in life.
All right, great. Well, let's back up a little bit. In your introduction, I didn't say much about your background or where you come from, but hopefully you're a New England guy because we only talk to New England people here. So where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up just outside of Boston.
Oh,
Mike,
all
so
right. Okay.
For
all
better right, or for worse. I've been in Rhode Island for 20 years, but I grew up just outside of Boston. I went to college at Bentley University in Waltham, Massachusetts.
Okay. Well, great. You even went to school in New England. You're safe. You're not Italian, but that's all right. So you do deal with other than Irish people, right?
Occasionally I do, yes.
All right. I won't go into my Italian accent then and ask you questions. Well, being in Rhode Island for 20 years now, did you have financial background or what got you started in this year? Because over 30, right?
I am over 30. Right, so I have 2 degrees in finance. So my bachelor's degree is in finance and then my master's is in finance as well. But I previously worked, I shouldn't say, but a big company called Fidelity Investments.
Okay.
So, and my original job out of college was with Mellon Bank. So I've been in the industry for a long time.
Am I thinking Carnegie Mellon? Is that?
It's exactly right.
Okay.
It's exactly right.
All right. See, it's stretching my memory here. Okay, so starting your own business, and how long have you been at the address in Warwick?
So we were in Cranston previously, and we moved to Jefferson Boulevard 6 years ago.
6 years ago. Mm-hmm. So been around for a while, and you have clients from all over the state, right?
Right, and we actually picked Warwick because it's fairly central for Rhode Island. But again, I have clients scattered all over the United States. I am licensed in 13 different states.
So a misconception by a lot of people, I would think, that because of compliance, some people think, oh, no, you know, you have to be with a Rhode Island person if you're in Rhode Island or Massachusetts, if you're in Massachusetts. But you can do other states then.
Absolutely. Any of the 50 states.
Any of the other 50 states. Wow. And the opportunities now with the new systems of the internet and so forth, Skyping, you can deal with people. They don't have to come to your office.
Absolutely. So between email, the telephone, or like you mentioned, Skype or any of those video conferencing services, it really, like, I have clients on the West Coast. They'll email me in the middle of the night. I'll see it first thing in the morning, get right back to them. Or all those meetings with the people from the West Coast, again, are either conference calls or they're video calls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much easier now than it was when I first got into the industry.
So if you're thinking about, well, I'm retiring, I want to find a guy, but I'm going to spend a lot of time in Florida, or I'm going to spend a lot of time in North Carolina or New Hampshire.
Well,
or
it may come as a surprise to you, Mike, but a lot of people from Rhode Island spend a little bit of time in Florida in the off season. And when they do, I can still talk to them and still communicate with them and still handle their affairs quite smoothly.
Right. So it doesn't make any difference where you are is what the point we're trying to get at. I even know some people that travel, you know, a lot outside of the country, but they can still communicate with you as long as their home base is still in the United States.
Right? Correct, right. Yeah.
So that's a good thing. So don't be afraid, is the point of this whole conversation, to get in touch with them wherever you are, because our listening area does cover lots of states, and our online listening area is worldwide. So wherever you are, if you have some United States ties, you can get to Sean and ask questions. Now, speaking of asking questions, let's take you through what I always tell people when I'm about to interview them. My job is to play dumb, and I do it very well. So I'm a dumb guy. I've been working for X number of years, and I come to you and say, what do I do? I have very little savings. I'm going to be getting Social Security. Is this a typical kind of thing, or do you only deal with a guy that says, well, I've got $16 million in this account, and I've got $5 million here. What's the difference?
So I typically, it's interesting you say that, Mike. So I typically, I don't set a minimum limit. So you said $16 million. What I try to do is if people need help and they're willing to listen, then I'll consider working with them. So everybody's case is different. But again, my primary thing is if people listen and they're willing to pay attention, then I'm going to at least meet with them and see if I can help them.
Okay. That was an interesting comment because I think that a lot of people like myself probably think of financial advisors similar to insurance salesmen. I'm going to use the term salesman. But you said in your last statement that you would consider working with them. Does that mean that you don't take everybody that comes in the door?
Well, you get a pretty good handle on people. Some people can be very wealthy. You know, and you said $16 million, which,
yeah,
you know,
I just pulled the number of the year, obviously.
But that doesn't mean they're open to listening to other people or taking advice. So, again, that's why I kind of phrase it. If people are willing to listen, pay attention, I'll consider working with them regardless, because you do come across people who are quote unquote wealthy that I do not want to work with.
Okay. And there is no minimum.
That's the benefit of being independent.
You can be your own guy.
Exactly.
Right. And as you said, there's no minimum as such. So even if I have, let's say I've got $10,000 in the bank and I've got Social Security coming in and and I've got a house, and so I have some assets, but I'm not sure what to do. You'll still work with that kind of.
Well, again, I can help almost everybody, mm-hmm. right? I can find some way to help just about everybody.
Do you find that people are richer than they think they are? And I mean that by they come in to you and say, oh, look, I've only got I'll use the example. I only got $10,000 in the bank. I don't need a financial advisor. But they forget that they have a house that's probably worth more than $500,000. They may have some property somewhere. They may have some stocks. They may have other things. And they don't realize it till they sit with you and you add it all up?
Exactly. So that's actually pretty common. So that's one of the first things I do when I sit with people. I have my little sheet that I fill out as we're going along so I can get a good handle on things. But I find, you know, it's funny you say that, Mike. I find there's two different groups of people. Not everybody falls into the categories, but some people have more money than they'll ever spend. They'll never be able to spend it, but they don't realize it. And other people think they have more money than they do. And I can't say if it's half and half. I can't, but I come across both groups of people all right. the time. And my job is to convince the people that don't have enough money that they don't have enough money. By the same token, the people who have more money than they'll ever be able to spend, then you kind of work with them and say, well, do you want to leave something for your kids, mm-hmm. for your grandkids, for a charity? And you figure out, okay, well, you're really only going to need this much to live comfortably for the rest of your life. If you want to redirect that money so that when you're gone, again, it goes to the grandkids or it goes to a charity or what have you, then, you know, you can work with people that way. So I'll work with people's accountants, their estate planning attorneys, sometimes their insurance agents as well, to coordinate things. Because, again, people don't always know what they have or what they don't have.
Yeah, I think you mentioned something that scare a lot of people when you say estate planning attorneys or something like that. But that's a necessary thing. Everybody should have a will, right? Everybody should have what's going to happen to them, because it's all going to happen to all of us someday.
So what I try to do, so if somebody lives in Rhode Island, I'll explain to them exactly how the process works. Now, I'm not an attorney. I can't give legal advice, but I can tell you that you need a will,
right?
A healthcare proxy, a power of attorney. You know, I explain people, walk them through it, and I say, okay, you should go see a lawyer, and you want them to probably go see somebody local, but, you know, do you know somebody? Did your brother know somebody? You know, because it is a necessary evil. But what you find with estate planning is people sometimes don't want to deal with it because they have to think about their mortality.
Sure. Okay. It's only natural that people don't want to go there. They want to.
And I can also, after spending some time with you, I can also figure out pretty quickly if you need something more extensive than just a basic will.
Okay.
You know, so if you need a trust or something, and I can explain the basics. And again, I'm not an attorney, so I'm not going to do that work for you, but I can certainly coordinate with, because the first thing that happens, Mike, when somebody gets their will or their trust done, I get a list of what to do with their accounts at Ameriprise. You should change the ownership to this. You should change the beneficiary to that. So that's what I mean when I say I coordinate everything with your attorney or your accountant or what have you.
Yeah, it's not It's not rocket science, but it can be very complicated, and people should even think about attempting this on their own. So that's where you come into play. You're the expert. You've been doing this a long time, right?
Well, that's how I say that, you know, my job is to save you time, but it's to simplify your life. If I explain to you what you need before you go to the attorney, there's no surprises, you know, there you go. You go, you get it done, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore.
All right. Well, we have a lot more to talk about, and I have several more questions that I'm going to be asking Sean, but we'll take a short break and be back with more. Welcome back to Company Break. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Sean Durkin from Ameriprise Financial, 300 Jefferson Boulevard in beautiful Warwick, Rhode Island. And I can say beautiful Warwick, Sean. You grew up in Massachusetts, and I grew up in Warwick. So there you go. So I know how beautiful Jefferson Boulevard used to be, and now there's all kind of buildings and things.
But well, we do have a beautiful office building. It's not very old. It sticks out like a sore thumb, and it tends to be very convenient for people.
Now, are you, as people say, at the Greenwood Inn end or the...
closer to the highway.
Closer to the highway.
The other end, yep.
All right. So, you can... probably very easy to find, and if you have questions, the phone number is 401-921-3688. And that leads me to a pretty big subject, because I notice on your business card that I'm holding, there's a fax number and a phone number and an email address, but there's no 800 number.
That's right, Mike. So that's one of the things I tell people is, you never have to call an 800 number. You never have to wait in a phone queue. You never get put on hold. When you call our office, if I'm unavailable, if I'm in a meeting with somebody else, then Kim is my associate. She answers the phone. Kim's fully licensed. So if you need something done quickly and I'm stuck in a meeting for an hour or two, Kim can take your call, and most times she can handle your request. And obviously, if you want to talk to me, and she can give you an idea, you know, Sean will be done in 30 minutes or whatever, where can he reach you? But if you need something done quickly, we find clients come to us from other larger firms where they're tired of dealing with an 800 number or having a different person every time they call in, or having an 800 number to a company that's based 2,000 miles away.
And most of the time when I call those numbers, they don't speak English. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. you can't say those things, but I can throw that out.
I speak English with a Boston accent.
There,
Mike.
You go. Well, that's kind of English. But it's interesting that you have someone that's answering the phone, whether it's you or it's Kim, and licensed. So you're not dealing.
Fairly unique in our industry that she is fully licensed and can do any transactions that, again, so if you call and you're in a hurry, you're on your way out, you need something done, bought, sold, you need money sent out or moved from your bank or whatever, she can handle everything.
All right. Well, we touched in the first segment on things that people should do. For example, not only planning with you, but getting their wills lined up and working with attorneys. Can you say on the air if you would advise people to go to a specific attorney, or you have a list of people that you happen to know? Or
so generally what I try to do is encourage people to go work with somebody that they're comfortable with. So if their parents had their will done by somebody and they enjoyed working with them, I try to encourage them to pursue that. You know, if they don't have anybody, I can certainly recommend usually several people so that you can pick one that you're comfortable with.
Yeah, I'm sure location has something to do with it, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, if somebody lives in Westerly, it's one person.
Right.
A lot of people don't want to go into Providence.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a high concentration of attorneys. You have to be careful in Rhode Island as well. You're looking for an estate planning attorney.
Okay.
Your estate planning.
That's, estate planning, and the other word that scares people sometimes is the word trust.
Mm-hmm.
There is more than one kind of trust. There are a myriad, correct?
Sure. So, Mike, you and I were talking off microphone earlier today, where a subset of clients that I work with are people who have trust. So they're either setting up a trust to hand down to the next generation, either their kids or their grandkids, or it's somebody who's inherited a trust because their grandparents set it up for them. But you can, you know, you can just have a regular trust. You can have a marital trust. You can have a special needs trust. You know, if you have a child or a grandchild who has medical concerns, you can actually set up a special needs trust. So where I come in with people, you can, the trust and the trustee, they get established, the custodian of the accounts or the assets. So where you keep the money, you have the option to move that. So people will be stuck with a bigger company where, again, they're either dealing with an 800 number or they're dealing with every time they call in, they get a different person. Mm-hmm. The trust can actually come over to Ameriprise. I can be responsible for it, for the investments. And you're getting me on the phone, and or you can come into the office and talk about it. So that is becoming more and more common. I also work with, you know, local charities that have a smaller trust account, or they may have money that they need to, you know, watch over until they invest it in the particular charity. And we, again, because we're local and they have somebody directly to talk to, we find that we're doing more and more of that work lately.
Right. And trusts, some people don't realize that there can be all kinds of stipulations in a trust. I mean, I knew someone who had a child that was, they wanted to leave something to, but was not trustworthy, to coin a phrase, was in and out of trouble with the law and just not ready to receive a great amount of money. And they had stipulated in the trust that, you know, as long as they're out of trouble for 6 months, they get X amount of dollars, and then at a certain age, they get more money. So all those kind of things are variables,
so
right?
The trust can be set up any way you want it.
Right.
So if you leave money to your children, they don't have to get the money all at once. They can get it over a span of 10 years. They can get part of it now and part of it 5 years from now. You can have a trustee disperse the money to them. You can do it any way you want. And that's, the lawyer has to listen to you. And you can
right.
make it as simple or as complicated as you want. The thing with a trust, Mike, that people don't understand, if you have a will in the state of Rhode Island, that's public. That goes through probate. That's public. Anybody can see that document. If you have a trust, that's not a public document. So if you want to disperse your assets via a trust, nobody has the right to see that,
see,
but a will is public.
That's why I love this program. I learn something new all the time. I didn't know that a will was public. I didn't realize that. That's excellent information.
But to stay on that topic really quickly, so some people will have, you know, again, you can have a special needs trust for a child with medical concerns, but you can have a marital trust, which, well, You can set up a trust to, you know, to protect your assets in the event that you or your spouse went into a nursing home.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, you can set up trusts for tax purposes. There's multiple types of trusts, and there's multiple reasons to have them.
And things change. And I think part of your business and part of the what we're trying to get across to people this morning is that things change all the time in your life, and they may need to talk to you. You're easy to reach, you're easy to talk to, and you're easy to make those changes as much as you can within compliance.
I try to. It's less frustrating if you work with somebody locally. That's what I think.
Right. And I just mentioned the word compliance, and that's involved pretty heavily in your industry, right?
Absolutely. So Ameriprise has a compliance department. They monitor everything I do. So as opposed to a different business where you don't know who's keeping track, somebody's watching over everything I do, every transaction, every time I buy something, sell something, transfer something, it gets reviewed somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that if something's not done properly, somebody's watching over it.
Yeah, and that's important. I mean, we've all heard horror stories of embezzlements here and there. There's one in the news right now going on with what everybody thought was a nice guy politician, but things happen. And so it's great to have that confidence behind something as large and as secure as Ameriprise.
Exactly. And those issues do crop up. They tend to be, again, with people that are, you know, one-offs. They're companies that are not affiliated. There's nobody keeping track of them.
Right, right. So that's an important thing. So okay, I've now come in to your office, and I don't know what I'm doing, but I got these amount of assets, and our first step would be to, as you said, you create a list, and that's like a checkoff list, I would guess, in my layman's terms.
Well, the first step, Mike, is to figure out, if you came in, say, all right, Mike, what are your concerns? What are you worried about? Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, then what are your goals? What do you want to do in the next 10 years, 20 years? I want to know that before I'm worried about what kind of house you have or what's in your 401k or anything like that. You want to figure out, the primary thing is to figure out what your concerns are.
Now, some people, you know, okay, I turned 66, I'm retiring. Used to be 65, now it's 66, soon to be 67, right? And I'm going to buy a boat, and I'm going to buy a summer home, and I'm going to retire to Florida, and I'm going to do all these things because I got all this money. And part of your job is to say, whoa, right?
Well, the first two things, somebody in that scenario, the first two questions they want to know is, will I outlive my money, and where will the money come from?
Right.
Once you can answer those questions, then they can figure out if they're going to get a boat or go to Florida or not. But, you know, that's the prime. People want to know, am I going to outlast my money or is my money going to outlast me?
Right.
Because nobody wants to spend their money and still be sticking around.
Right. It's a difficult situation to get a handle on for a lot of people because it's new. You know, you've been dealing with this. You've seen hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of people go through this. So, but the individual, it's the first time it's happening to them. So that's why they need somebody like you.
Well, the flip side, like I said, is where will the money come from? So somebody might have Social Security. They could have a pension. They could have a 401k. They could have a Roth IRA, a traditional IRA. So they have money, but there's always a logical way to distribute the money. Should I take it from here first? Should I take it from there first? And you can map that out for them so that they usually can save taxes for starters. But the second thing is to make the money last as long as possible.
Right. And you mentioned Social Security. That's a whole nother subject that we could probably do a whole program on, but we've only got a couple minutes to go. But the correct age to collect Social Security is a whole science that
everybody's situation is different, right? You can take it at age 62, you can take it at age 66, or you can take it at age 70.
Or anywhere in between.
Correct. So if you take it at age 62, it's 70% of what you would get at age 66.
Right.
That's a big difference. Then if you don't take it till 70, it's higher, but it stops growing at age 70. So that's the latest you would take it. But everybody's scenario is different. Do you take it early at 62? Well, a lot of times, is your spouse the same age as you, or is there a gap in the age? Mm-hmm. Then the second thing is, do you have a pension, and can you get it at age 60, or do you have to wait till age 65? So there's a lot of variables in there, but figuring out when to take your Social Security is a very important part of your retirement scenario.
And it could be multiple thousands of dollars difference. I mean, you know, we're not talking about, oh, 50 bucks here or 50 bucks there. We're talking about considerable amount of money, particularly when you're talking about the difference of 4, 5, 6 years.
Well, people will say to me, Mike, well, I'm still working, but why can't I take my Social Security? Because it's taxed. Mm-hmm. So you have to understand the tax implications of it as well. So it's not, unless you're just living off of Social Security, it's not cut and dried.
Well, I suffice it to say, like I said, I'm sure we could spend a whole show just on Social Security. But the purpose of this program is to introduce you to our listeners and to make them understand that if they have questions, whether it's Social Security or estate planning or wills or just handling your income or your outgo, then you're the guy they want to talk to. And all of those things are done in beautiful downtown Warwick on Jefferson Boulevard, but more importantly, by phone or by email, and because you don't have to go to your office.
Whatever you're most comfortable with.
Right. It can all work out. Sean, I want to thank you for coming in today. It's been great. Like I said, we could go on and on, but time is here. Thanks for being in.
Thanks very much for having me, Mike.
All right. We'll see the rest of you next time on Company Break.